far, our planet presents no problems. Just a matter of technique, and I am rich in technique. When I hammered on the stained wooden door in the least wholesome section of town, I was ready to take the first step in my new plan. "I have some business for you, Wolf," I told the bleary-eyed Stewie, who opened the door. "Get the hell lost," he said, and tried to close the door in my face. My carefully placed shoe prevented this, and it took almost no effort at all to push in past him. "I don't do any medical work," he mumbled, looking at my bandaged arm. "Not for police, stoolies, I don't, so get the hell lost." "Your conversation is both dull and repetitious," I told him, because it was. "I am here to offer you a strictly legitimate business deal with value given for money received. The mere fact that it happens to be illegal should bother neither of us, least of all you." I ignored his mumbled protests and looked into the next room. "According to information of great reliability, you live here in unmarried bliss with a girl named Xena. What I have to say is not for her undoubtedly shell-like ears. Where is she?" "Out!" he shouted. "And you too, out!" He clutched a tall bottle by the neck and raised it threateningly. "Would you like that?" I asked, and dropped a thick wad of fresh banknotes on the table. "And that? And that?" I followed with two more bundles. The bottle slipped from his loose fingers and fell to the floor, while his eyes bulged out further and further as if they were on pistons. I added a few more bundles to the pile until I had his undivided attention. It really didn't take much discussion. Once he had assured himself that I really meant to go through with the proposition, it was just a matter of settling the details. The money had an instantly sobering effect on him, and though he had a tendency to twitch and vibrate, there was nothing wrong with his reasoning powers. "Just one last problem," I said as I started to leave. "What about the worthy Xena? Are you going to tell her about this?"
"You crazy?"
Wolf asked with undisguised surprise. "I suppose that means you won't tell her. Since only you and I are going to know about this operation, how are you going to explain your absence or where the money has come from?" This was even more shocking to him.
"Explain? To her? She isn't going to see either me or the money once I leave here, which will be no more than 10 minutes from now."
"I see," I said. And I did. I also thought it was rather uncharitable of him, since the unlucky Xena had been supporting him by practicing a trade that most women shun. I made a mental note to see what could be done to even the score a little. In the future, though. Right now I had to see to the dissolution of James Bolivar de Grizz. Sparing no expense, I ordered all the surgical and operating room equipment that Wolf could suggest. Whenever possible, I bought robot-controlled devices, since he would be working alone. Everything was loaded in a heavy carrier, rented for the occasion, and we drove out to the house in the country together. Neither of us would trust the other out of his sight, which was, of course, understandable. Financial payments were the hardest to arrange, since the pure-hearted Dr. Wolf was sure I would bash in his skull and take back all of my money once the job was finished, never realizing, of course, that as long as there were banks, I would never be broke. The safeguards were finally arranged to his satisfaction, and we began our solitary and important business. The house was lonely and self-contained, perched on the cliff above a far reach of the lake. What fresh food we needed was delivered once a week, along with the mail, which consisted of drugs and other medical supplies. The operations began. Modern surgical techniques being what they are, there was of course no pain or shock. I was confined to bed and at times was loaded with so much sedation that days passed in a dreamy fog. Between two periods of radical surgery, I took the precaution of seeing that a sleeping pill was included in Wolf's evening drink. This drink was, of course, non-alcoholic, since his traveling this entire course mounted on the water wagon was one of the conditions of our agreement. Whenever he found it difficult, I restored his resolution with a little more money. All this continence had his nerves on edge, and I thought he would appreciate a good night's sleep. I also wanted to do a little investigating. When I was sure he was deeply under, I picked the lock of his door and searched his room. I suppose the gun was there.